Might be the first break we're to have something traumatic happen, George. No phones that aren't either of ours beeping in the background.
For real?
No, nothing new that's happening. But really looking forward to this. I've admired this guy's work from afar. We're going to get the chance, folks, to talk today to Greg Smith from Hail Varsity. Mr. Smith, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent. How are you guys?
I'm doing well, bud. Now, we've bantered back and forth on Twitter. I'm always impressed with the fact you squat on Sundays, which I think is just sometimes psychotic, but you're getting after it there in the weight room. How is the world treating? Give everybody a little bit of background about you. I'm sure you've been on other shows, but this is the first time you and I have been together.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been with you. I'm happy to be here. I'm the recruiting analyst over at Hail Varsity, HailVarsity.com. Been over there for a couple of years now. I've kind of been in the Nebraska media scene for a few years now, a handful of years. And it's funny, in the 5 or 6 years I've been doing, I think I've covered 3 football coaches. So that's always a fun time when you really stop and think about that.
Yeah, it's amazing to see, because Nebraska's gone for so long with so much stability, and then you guys that are new to the area come in and it just looks like cash. Like, what am I getting myself? Don't get me wrong, I got a lot of stuff right, but what am I getting myself into? They can't keep a coach around this joint.
Yeah, it's very odd. Like, I got here when I went to school here, so I got here in 2002, so the season after the national championship. So I've seen not what you guys have told me about since then. So it's interesting seeing it from that perspective, and basically seeing everybody be so hungry to get back to what you guys are used to. But it's been quite a while, and I think that they're on the right track now, though, with Coach Brown.
Hey, Greg, being the recruiting coordinator or recruiting specialist for Hail Varsity, when you see guys like Ethan Piper and Banks moving positions, does that raise a red flag? Do you follow it much after the kid is here, or are you mainly just focused on when the kid finally gets here? Because it was an interesting thing to me that they moved those guys over to provide even more depth at the offensive line.
Now, I keep up with them once they get here. I still kind of cover the team as well, but also my general rule, the younger the guy is on the team, the more I know about him, right? It was something that I think had been on the radar, particularly with Piper,
right?
Because I think it was always left a little bit open as to which side of the ball that he would play on, which side of the ball actually fit best for him. I think if you talk to different people that have seen him play, people are pretty split on whether or not he should have been on the defensive line or offensive line. I thought he could have played either, but I do think that him as an interior offensive lineman, either center or guard, I thought guard at first, but they do have that need at center with his athleticism. But you saw some of the testing numbers, you see the videos that they put out of him. There's a one of him from a while back dunking. So his athleticism is off the charts. And then Brant Banks, the interesting situation with him was that Mike Dawson was the only, when he was here, was the only defensive line coach recruiting him, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else recruiting Brant Banks was recruiting him for offensive line. So it's not really out of the norm, especially when you get a new defensive line coach in. Maybe he's looking for something a little bit different, or it could be that he got here, they put him through a little bit of stuff, and then they said, oh, wait, he actually fits better on the offensive line.
Yeah, and for those guys to assess that, because that's a difficult discussion. That's a difficult discussion for a coaching staff to have. Like, hey, we know your heart's set to play defense, but we got to flip your mindset, mentality, you're going to play offense. It speaks a lot to what has changed at Nebraska, because I think 4 years ago, you go with that switch, it ain't happening. You recruited me as a defender, I'm playing defense. Now it's like, hey, how can I help the team? And that's probably one of the best things that I think has happened at Nebraska recently.
And, I think it's also from the coach's perspective, too. I think it says something about them that they were willing to pull the plug on him being on defense right away, knowing that he could either help them better on the offensive line or that's his best ultimate position, right? Sometimes you get ego involved on that side, too, where you say, hey, let's just say, for example, if Chenander had said, I thought he was a defensive lineman, I want to keep him there and ride this out, versus Greg Austin saying, I really see something there. Those egos come into play on that too. So I think that's a credit to the coaching staff as well and the kid. I think it's hats off for everybody involved, because those are difficult conversations.
Greg Smith providing fantastic recruiting coverage for us through Hail Varsity. Greg, if you're Nebraska and you're in charge of recruiting right now, what are your targets for this upcoming class? Where do you need to get more guys in the door?
Oh, we got to start at linebacker. You have to get more guys at linebacker, because I think that there are good players. players in the room right now for Nebraska, both the inside and outside linebacker. It's not a lack of bodies or not a lack of talent on the top end. You just don't have overall depth, right? So even if you look specifically at inside linebacker, you feel really rock solid with Mo Berry, even though he's going to continue to make improvements to his game. You'll see Will Honus coming back off of that injury. They really like Colin Miller on the inside. But you need more than three guys, right? You have Jackson Hanna and Nick Henrich, true freshman coming in. It's hard to count on true freshmen to come in and play inside linebacker in the Big Ten, right? That's just difficult to ask anybody, no matter how highly touted both of those guys were. So you want to continue to add to that. And then eventually Nebraska does have to crack the nut of figuring out like how to get dynamic pass rush on the edge. So continuing to add guys to that outside linebacker room is another key component here. So linebacker overall, and then I always name the one that people don't like to talk about until the season comes up, but Nebraska needs to continue adding wide receivers.
Yes.
It's an offense that features a lot of wide receivers on the field at one time, three and four at a time, and they just don't have the overall depth there that you would like to have. Now, you have, again, you have a lot of bodies, but it's a lot of unproven guys. Like you've got guys from the two JUCO guys that came in last year, Woodyard and Mike Williams. You have Andre Hunt. You have other guys in that group. Wandale will be a key fixture this year. Noah transferred in, Kate Warner, J.D. Spielman. But outside of J.D. Spielman, who do you just feel absolutely solid with going out there? So they'll continue to need to supplement that position as well.
See, and I'm a big fan of the Miami model with what Nebraska's doing, the old 80s Miami model. Okay, you played safety in high school. You are now a linebacker. Get used to it. This is where we're going to put you. I can trickle down every position on the field except receiver. I can't do that. Well, quarterback too, but receivers are just made. You can't take a defensive back and say, hey, we're going to make you into a receiver, because there's a reason you're on defense is because you can't catch. So it's you to go out and find those guys. Because I'll fight tooth and nail against 7-on-7. I think it's pointless. I think it's a very silly exercise. That's just me. I'm an old curmudgeon. But for Nebraska, where it's at, they almost have to be in that world more than most to find these receivers, because it is a question. There's bodies, but that talent has to go. Can they find that local talent here? Or is that something they're going to have to continue to press the boundaries on and get further and further away, be that Jamaica or Kazakhstan, as Coach Frost said yesterday?
That's a great line.
Hey, bud, I'm in for some Jamaicans. If we can get some Jamaicans that can catch the ball.
I want to know who gets to go on that recruiting trip. That's always the thing.
We'll cool running. We'll have a set called Cool Runnings. We'll put four Jamaicans out there and be like, good luck.
They want speed. You can go there for that. I think you can continue to mine local talent, but I think that's where the big B word comes in, development, right?
Yep.
You have to be able to develop those players, and I think that we see too big of a dip over time here in that development aspect. And if you get guys in the program locally that maybe their bodies develop a little bit later, they're playing multiple sports throughout high school, so they're not hyper specialized on football. So it's going to take a couple of years for them to really develop, but then you're going to see them kind of come through, or even you will have guys in the state that don't take a couple of years. Like I would bet right now that a guy like Ethan Piper is going to end up contributing sooner rather than later to the football team, but he was not heavily recruited, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be about what you can find within a player and the fit within the program. Like this staff, above everything, feels like they're all about fit within their program and into their schemes on offense and defense.
Yeah, so Greg Smith, Hail Varsity, joins us here on Game Time. Do you get caught up in those receiver debates? I understand height. I understand you want to throw the high ball on the outside. But sometimes those mid-range and height guys that are just super quick are more advantageous. Do you need a certain number of each part at Nebraska, or do you see them being able to say, hey, we're going to take the best available at any time at receiver and go?
I think in this offense, you can go with the best available that you can find and just go. I think that it's nice and it's a bonus to have a guy like the recruiting guy, Omar Manning, out of Kilgore Junior College down in Texas. He's 6'3", 6'4", right? It's nice to have a guy like that can do it all. But I think you can have a guy like Wandale, a guy like JD. Noah is about 6'6", 6'1", who just transferred in from Cal. I think you can have those guys because this offense is not predicated on necessarily running those difficult routes where you're going over the middle a ton and all of that. I think you're running to open space, and Adrian can then throw into windows to really, really dumb it down. So I think that you can just get away with having the best athletes out there. And especially if you go back and look at, say, Oregon under Chip Kelly and the types of receivers that they had, they weren't out there running around with Maurice Purified type of wide receivers.
And even the way the NFL is moving, like if you're trying to sell, not necessarily the 100% that vision, but hey, don't kid yourself. If you come to Nebraska and play receiver, you're not cut blocking 14 yards down the field anymore. You're actually a guy that, that can fall into that Tariq Hill mode and, you know, that little quick, super fast guy. You're, if you can play, we can help you get to that point where you're going to get paid to play.
Right, and you can say, listen, you're going to catch a variety of passes. You're going to, you know, tunnel screen.
Oh, great point.
You're going to go deep down the field. We're going to get you involved in the run game if you can carry the football. And then you can just say, let's pop on the tape of our offensive genius coach, and he can show you what he can be able to do. So I think wide receiver, but the thing is that wide receiver is really hard to evaluate. If you ever notice and you look through recruiting rankings, and a lot of times, it feels like guys come out of nowhere off the radar on those rankings, end up having very productive college careers, whether it's those top-end guys that have maybe topped out and maxed out in high school don't necessarily perform the best in the long run. Receiver is really tricky, so you've got to find the right fit, and I think you can just get the best athletes and go.
Yeah, it's I think Nebraska can live in this world where I can get my height from the tight end. Like I've been on the Austin Allen bandwagon for quite a while. I'm a 308 kid, the kid from the 308. He's tall, he's athletic, he's got great feet. Finding those guys that create those huge mismatch problems, I would be perfectly content if Nebraska had a bunch of, you know, 5'10 down receivers and a couple monsters at tight end, because twofold, if I can start to take those away from Iowa, that's something I don't have to worry about when we play Iowa. And if I could find a good player that I'm going to get to be better, that's a win on all aspects.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it seems like that's been kind of the model, right? If you look at all of the tight ends, like I'm trying to think of who's the shortest tight end that they have. Is Jack Stoll actually the shortest guy? And he's with a solid 6'4" running around out there. The kid that they just got in is a transfer, Vocalex, and they're trying to see if they can get the waiver for it. He's a really big kid. Austin Allen, Chris Hickman that just came in. So that seems to be the formula that they want those mismatches. And if you look at kind of their UCF offenses, Jordan Akins, some of the guys that they had at tight end down there, that kind of is the prototype of what they'd like to do. And you saw the kind of lane space that he had to be able to catch the football and operate within this offense. I think that's what they're trying to get to with the tight end position.
Mm-hmm. Covering recruiting as you do, what did you put into Harbaugh's statement of, I think everybody should get one free change of mind, basically one free pass, like, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, I'm going to leave, and I get no penalty?
Well, I was shocked that he said that, because I can't imagine that there might not be another coach in the Big Ten that would have said that. I'd be surprised if anybody else said that, because coaches generally don't like that, and it makes sense, because you don't want to have to keep re-recruiting kids after they get on your campus, right? Like, and make it even easier for them to leave. So I was really, really surprised by that. You just don't see that very often. I don't know. I'm all for player empowerment and them being able to move, especially in these cases where, you know, you commit and then a coach leaves right away. You always had that time after signing day, especially. Like, I'm okay with kids being able to open that up. But you get some situations now when you do, you know, transfer 2 and 3 times during your college career, it's a bit much. So it would open things up quite a bit for the Harbaugh model, if we're going to call it that for right now. But it'd be really tough. I don't know how you would get a lot of coaches on board on that one.
Well, and of all the people, like I like gambling, so if I'm a bookie, out of every coach I would say that, Harbaugh would have been the longest shot on the board. He'd have been so much plus money, I'd be broke.
Right. You'd have thought, like, Lovey would say that.
Yes.
Right, down in Illinois, because they've been very open to taking transfers, and they're going to be a school that is always going to have to kind of mind the transfer market. They're just not going to recruit as well. A team like Michigan, where you want to stack players, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to end up having guys being able to leave. So, yeah, it is. It's very surprising that he said that.
It was fascinating. Well, hey, my man, I've wanted to do this for a while. I know you have some deals in Lincoln where you got to wrangle Foreman around, try to keep that guy under wraps. That's a full-time job in and of itself.
He's a handful, yeah.
But I appreciate your time, taking some time out of your day. I appreciate the conversation. Have a great one.
Hey, have a good one, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, Greg Smith, Hail Varsity, in charge of recruiting. So there's the whip around from a guy that covers it every day. But Harbaugh saying that, I listened to that probably six times. I realized, but that's not what he said. And then the boys in the morning, Gary and Damon, they reiterated that. Dude, I couldn't believe it. Like, of all the people, of all the coaches and all the conferences and all the world, you got to be in mind and say dumbass like that. I don't need that, bud. I get it. If you want to transfer, you made a bad decision. You got caught up in the hoopla. I understand it. The ramifications for actions. You don't just get a free pass. But anyway, thanks, though, for Greg Smith for catching up with us. We're going to step out here, take a break. We'll come back, continue on this fantastic Friday on Game Time 1620 The Zone.